You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Hallelujah.
So I think I'm a little loud for my own comfort here. And so I wanted to continue. We got some things coming up on Sunday mornings, and I hate to leave things unfinished. And so I had two more really good messages on your identity. And so I'm going to finish them up on Wednesday night, and they'll be online. And then so those who can't come on Wednesday night can pick up. But remember, we've been talking about your identity. We've been talking about the soldier. We've been talking about athlete. We've been talking about the farmer. And Paul wrote this and instructed Timothy, a young pastor. And at this time, he was really going through some things. And so I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and I believe the Spirit of God has some things to say, and you know, there may be some other things in here rolling around that we'll get them all out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, start of verse 3. Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Everybody say, I'm a good soldier. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, he's talking about an athlete, yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman or the farmer that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding of all things. And so one of the things about these three kinds of people is, number one, the Lord is saying you need to be all three of them at once. This is not where you take a personality test and figure out which one of these you are. The Bible is talking, the Spirit of God is talking to Timothy, and he's talking to us about you've got to be all three of these at the same time. You have to be a good soldier. You have to train like an athlete and win the prize. And you have to be a good, a hardworking farmer so that you can first be the first partakers of the fruit. And then Paul, remember what he later said. He said, I have fought a good fight. What is that? That's a soldier. I have finished my course. What is that? That's an athlete. I have kept the faith. What is that? That's the farmer. And he wants us to have all three. Now, one of the things about these three type of people, the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, is all three of them, to me, have very, it's like you wouldn't be any of the three of these if you weren't real passionate about it. In other words, I don't know any top athletes that don't love what they do. There's a lot of soldiers I know. Now, you may know some who don't like it, but those, let's say, that keep re-upping and make it a career, they only do it, I would think, because they really love it. They're really called to do it. I know growing up, my uncles, many of my uncles and my papaw were farmers. And so I know, it's like we used to say, it's in the blood. There's something that drives them. And so it also, to me, that these, all three of these, if you're really driven to be these things, when failure comes or when opposition comes, it doesn't matter. Because see, I've seen, even in my uncles, them have two or three bad years in a row, and you would think, come on, you need to understand, maybe you ought to quit. But there's no quit in them. It's not just that they don't know how to do anything else. All of my uncles could do other things. They were driven to farm. And then I think that about soldiers, and I know that about athletes. In other words, it's almost like a calling. It's almost something that's pulling them. And that's what the Lord is trying to get to you and I. These three things, these three types of people, I need you to be them. I need you to understand what they are and kind of obtain to it so that you too, with the Apostle Paul, can say, I fought a good fight. What's a good fight? The one you always win. Amen. I remember I told you, the Lord didn't teach you how to quit, and he's not going to teach you how to lose. Amen. Because you always triumph. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. So how many times are we going to win? We're going to win all the time as long as we don't quit. Amen. And then, you know, being a great athlete, the athlete, it's as much about what you do when no one's watching than when everyone is watching, you can win. And so God wants us to endure. He wants to make it to the end. And so then we talked about it being a soldier. And so let's just review a little bit of, about being a farmer. Let's review a little bit about that. I began to talk to you about, because there's so much. And this is the one, honestly, that we talk about. Really, I talk a lot about authority, and so there's the soldier aspect of it. And I talk a lot about the soil and the seed. So we just did things not very long ago called the soil, the seed and the soil. So we talked about that a lot around here. And so I just kind of want to, I want to talk tonight, and then I want to finish up, because this is what I want you to know. First of all, if you're going to be a great farmer in the kingdom of God, you first need to know how to receive for yourself. But it's not just about you. Because you see, there is other harvests besides your healing, besides your finances. There is a, there's the harvest is what, you know, it, the field is ready. There are souls of men and women and boys and girls. That is part of the harvest as well. Just like healing is your inheritance, the Bible says the heathen are your inheritance. As much as healing and prosperity and all those things are your inheritance, the heathen are your inheritance. And I'm going to get all my inheritance. I said, I'm going to get all my inheritance. And I want you to get all your inheritance. And if we all just went after our inheritance, then we would we would see a lot of people coming into the kingdom of God. We'd see a lot of healing flowing. We'd see everything that God has promised. So in way of review, I talked to you about that, you know, it's a hardworking farmer. And we talked to you about As a farmer, you're a sower, and you know you got to understand your soil, and you have to keep your heart. And so, just for time's sake, let me just get going on this tonight. I want you to turn to I'm gonna give you these five things. Farming is like a cycle; it's the same thing every year, and we're gonna end up talking about seasons. But farming's like a cycle. And I gave these all P's so I could remember them. The first thing you got to do is plow. The second thing you got to do is plant. The third thing you got to do is preserve. The fourth thing you got to do is prune. And then there'll be plenty. So the first thing you got to do is plow. And so the Bible says this. Jesus said, no man is fit for the kingdom of God, putting his hand to the plow and looking back. A farmer can't be thinking about what happened last year and what he did wrong last year. He's got to be in the moment, in the right now. Because everything as a farmer, as a hardworking farmer, is always ongoing. You know, a lot of times I don't think people realize how much work it really is. That's why he calls it the hardworking farmer. It's every season there's something going on, and every season is important. And so the first thing, you know, Hosea 10:12 says it's time to break up your fallow ground. It's time to till up. It's time to plow up your soil of your heart. And so the first thing we got to do is plow. Everybody say plow. So you got to put your hand to the plow. In your life, there's this continual cycle of you plowing. What is that? Getting your heart ready, keeping your heart ready, getting your heart ready, and keeping your heart ready. Because you know that the truth of the matter is that no one has control over your heart, your cardia, your soil, but you. And so a lot of the what we've looked at, then we looked at this. We're going to have to plant. And we've looked at the parable of the sower, the parable of the sower. And remember the four heart conditions. What do we learn about that? Well, every person has control of their heart. And really the harvest you get has really more to do with your heart and the condition of your heart than it does Word of God. Because how many know the seed of the Word of God never changes? I said the seed of the Word of God never changes. It's infallible, right? It always works. It never returns void. It always accomplishes. So it's never on the seed. Now listen to me and don't mistake what I'm about to say. A lot of times people just say, well, you need more word. You need more word. That's always true. How many of you know more word is always a good answer? But if your heart is messed up, you can have the choicest word in the world being given to you, and it'll do you no good. So more word in the aspect of, I just need to hear more. Well, if it's not producing, no, what you need to do is check and make sure your soil is good. How can you know? Well, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will leak. And you can tell your soil type about every day. You don't need to pH test it. You need to Holy Ghost test it. You can tell what your soil's like by what comes out your mouth. Well, you know, that was a lot of pressure. What came out of your mouth? That's what you believe. Praise Jesus. When we get squeezed with the pressure, well, it was just the unusual circumstances, the pressure. Well, but when you get squeezed, what you really believe comes out of you. Now, if you get squeezed and you don't like what came out of you, you're just going to sit down and cry about it? No, what do you know? I got to change my soil. And so how do you go about the soil? How do you change your soil? Well, you find out. Is it wayside soil? Is it full of rocks? Is it full of the cares of this life? Is there a root of bitterness in me? Am I intrigued by money? Has the deceitfulness of lust, choked out the word of God in my life? What's going on in me? What's going on in me? One time we had this man coming to healing school, and that's maybe not a good example, but I'm going to give it anyway. It's a really great example, but it's a long time ago. Don't try to figure out who it was. All right, it's a long, long time ago. But he came, and he was listening to healing, and he needed healing. And somebody brought up to him about tithing, and it made him mad. And one person said, well, he doesn't need to know about tithing. He's got a healing problem. But after praying about it in my heart and his reaction, I didn't get in the middle of it except for to know, and the Lord dealt with me about it, that is his problem. It was his problem. Well, how could money have anything to do with healing? Because he loved his. And you can't serve God in money. Money's a terrible master. God's a good one. And so, since it made him mad, out of the abundance of his soil, his heart, his cardia, and so you can be throwing all the good healing word into him and it's not producing. What do we got to do? We got to really watch our heart. Because out of it, Proverbs 4, 20 through 24, says, out of your heart flows the issues of your life. If the devil, who is smart, wanted to mess with you, what would he do? He'd be messing with your soil. He'd be messing with your cardia. He'd be messing with where the seed goes. Because, see, even for that, is you can, on the outward appearance, look like everything's right and yet be the most frustrated person on the planet or in this church because there's something matter with your soil. Now, not the Wednesday night folk. I know you all good. I know you're 30, 60, 100 folders. I know. I get that. I know. But we all got to make sure we stay there. I said, we all got to make sure we stay there because the devil knows if he can get unforgiveness in you, if he can plant a seed of bitterness in you, if he can make you think bad of the person on your left or on your right or that pastor don't know what he's doing anymore or whatever. He can plant something in you that is not the word, that is the weed, that is a root of bitterness and get it to grow up. He can choke out the word of God. You and I, one of the main things, and last time I preached on this, the greater revelation I had is really it's so much about your soil. It's your soil, it's your heart, and because it will produce if it is good soil, if you've taken care of the other three kinds of soil that the Lord talked about, if you can get it to good soil, maintain it, then the word of God never fails. It's never the seed. And so then when you put seed into it, it always produces. And then as it's producing, the Lord's got more to say. So what do you got to do? So then you got to persevere. What do you got to do? Well, you got to keep it watered. Remember, Apollos watered. What is watering? How many of you know you got to water plants? You got to water them. You can have the best soil, the best seed, but then you got to keep it watered. And the word of God is the water. So we got to keep it watered. We got to keep the weeds out. We gotta watch over it, making sure it's everything that's good. And then you know, if you like a fruit tree, then you gotta prune it. Did the Lord ever cut anything out of your life? Has He ever said to you, "Don't do that anymore"? Well, you used to let me do that, but you can't do that anymore. Why? Anytime the Lord gets His pruning shears out, what does that mean? More fruit. Anytime He's asking you to cut something out. Anytime He's asking you to lay something down, He's trying to get you something. He's not trying to ruin your fun or ruin your life. He's trying to get you something. He'll get you something probably you asked for. And so when the prune and shears come out, you should rejoice after you cry. Hallelujah. And then there's plenty. How many of you know the Lord always wants us to harvest? And so what I want to talk about real quick before we go then is what one of the things about a farmer that I'm most intrigued with, because, you know, there's some special attributes about a soldier. A soldier is a fighter. A soldier is someone who is ready, who trains, is ready. You got the athlete always training, ready to win. But you got this farmer. A farmer is maybe not as, you know, they're just hardworking, put their nose to the grindstone, always doing it, always thinking about the next crop, always thinking about how to do it better, how to get more crops, how to harvest it, how to protect the harvest, how to take care of their family, how to take care of other people. So the farmer is like that. And so one of the things about the farmer that's interesting is they really have to know their seasons. And so that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about, talking about the farmer, is you and I have to get to know what season we're in. Pastor Rhonda on Wednesday nights, when she's been ministering, she's talking to us about a season. If you know what season you live in, you know how to act. If you know what season you live in, you know how to dress. If you know what season you live in, you know it really makes navigating life a whole lot better. There's naturally, for all of us, there's seasons of our life. You know, there's the childhood season. There's the teenage season. There's the young adult season. There's the get married and have lots and lots of babies season. So your dad can have grandkids. And so you got the making money season. You got the empty nest season. You got what other seasons? You got rocking chair season. I'll never have that season. I'm going to pass that one by. I'm never going to have that. Somebody, one of my our financial planner asked me when we were going to retire, and we just laughed because we're not. I may refire, and I may do things a little different, but I will never retire. You know, there's all kinds of seasons. But if you know what season you're in, you know what you need for that season. You know how to prepare for that season. So that's a farmer. And so, you know, naturally speaking, there's four seasons. There's a spring season. What does the farmer do in spring season? Well, he gets the soil ready. During the spring, he gets the soil ready. He gets everything ready. He'll be, you know, making sure the ground is ready. Make sure he has his seed bought. Planned on, you know, how many acres he's going to plant, what kind of seed we're going to plant, how much harvest we're going to get. They'll begin to prepare. They'll get everything all ready. And then, so at the end of the spring season, you begin to plant. Then you move into summer season. What is that? That's growing season. Well, in growing season, knee high by the 4th of July is good for the corn in Illinois. And so you know you're on track. And then you also want to do what? You want to, depending on what you planted, if you planted soybeans, you know you got to get some of them teenagers out there and cut the corn out of the soybeans because it'll ruin it. And so you also know if you have gardens, tomatoes, whatever you got to do, you got to get the little bugs. You got to keep the weeds out. You got to make sure it's been watered. You got to do everything. I tell this story. I was in 4-H. Does anyone know what 4-H is in this room? Yes. Yeah. All right. And I did not join Future Farmers of America because I thank God that I didn't even know what confession did, but I wanted no part of being a future farmer of America. And so Anyway, though, I was in 4-H, and so I would grow my garden, and at the, you know, the end of the year, and I didn't end up doing it, but I even had a steer to show at, you know, and if you've never been to 4-H steer show, you have missed half your life. If you've never seen a steer with a tail that has been, like they used to do women's hair, tease it, and then spray hairspray on it. I'm telling you, this is serious stuff. And if you get grand champion, man, you get some serious dough. And so, anyway, I didn't end up doing it. But anyway, but you know, at the end, you would show your whatever you did, and they would come by and check on your progress. And then 4-H fair, you'd go and you'd get your ribbon. You know, you get a certain amount of money for blue, certain amount of money, that's first place, certain amount of money for red, and the dreaded white ribbon, you know. Third place, mediocrity, it's participation. That's what I got. And so, yeah, my gardening skills lack. And so I just did it because it was kind of fun. All my friends did it. And so, but you know, you want to make sure that you understand that, you know, this is important stuff, and so you want to make sure that everything is good, and so you got to know what season you're in. And so, you know, during that season, the reason I got a white ribbon was because I didn't keep the weeds out. I didn't watch over my garden. I had better things to do. I think it was riding bike. Anyway, so I didn't do it, and so it showed up because the weeds choked out my maters, that's short for tomatoes, and my potatoes, and whatever else I tried to show. The truth is, every season's important, because you could have had the best soil with the best seeds, and in this season, if you don't watch it, it could ruin it. That's why I admire the farmer so much, is just like they never get time off. That's what the Lord is saying to you. Yes, so you're a soldier, you're an athlete, but you gotta have this farmer mentality too, of being a hard worker and keep doing it. Because you're supposed to be first partaker of the fruits. You're supposed to be enjoying the fruit of your faith. And so then we move into, after summer, everything is grown. And then what happens? We come into harvest season. Oh, and when harvest season is, you've got a short window. You know, you go back to spring, and you've got some people who want to jump the gun, even around here, because it's Alabama, and it's 70 degrees, and it's time to plant, yet it's March, and you might get away with it, but if you plant, and a frost comes, everything you just planted dies. You got to know the season. And one of the things about being a farmer is you got to be led. Now, they may not be led by God, but they have to know. But you as a farmer, you need to be led because you need to know what season you're in. And you need to know what you're supposed to be doing so that you can navigate the season correctly. And I am going somewhere with this. And then what happens in winter season? Well, winter is vacation. No, not if you're a farmer. Because the winter season, after you've got harvested, then you got to get your equipment ready because spring is just really right around the corner. And you're preparing and you're making sure your barns are good. You're doing everything. And so it's very important. Everybody say, what season is it? What season is it? Well, what season is it? Well, what season is it around here? Does anybody know? It's Jubilee. It's harvest time. And so you got to know what season you're in. Now listen, there are some things that you're always working on. Anything you've been redeemed from. In other words, you don't need a special season to be healed. You don't need a special season to prosper. You don't need a special season to be saved. You don't need a special season to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's ongoing because we've been redeemed. Those things have been purchased. That's ours. But there are some things in your life. Somebody listen to me in this room right now, because this was really strong when I was getting ready today. But you do need to know the season of your life for particular things, like callings, sometimes career, relationships. There's a lot of times that the devil knows what season you're in too, because he can kind of pick it up. How do I know that? When Jesus was born, he knew what season they were in. He knew what was going on. He didn't know everything, because if he knew everything, but he knew what season. Because remember, just so many things. John the Baptist was born in season. There'll be, even about Jesus, that he was born in due season. He was born at a certain season. And the enemy knew that. And the enemy tried to get to him while he was a baby, because he knew that was the beginning season. And so it's true, and especially with somebody in this room, when it comes to relationships, the devil knew who was about to come, and so he sent a counterfeit first. He's very good at that. So you, as a young man or young woman, I know which one it is, but I'm not going to say, because we'll leave it, because then 50% will be like, okay, he's not talking to me. And there's not a whole lot of single folk in the room, because if you're married, this does not apply to you whatsoever. You're in a different season. And you love the season you're in. Amen. And there's no getting out of it. Hallelujah. Anyway, so, but a lot of times, you know, just even like right before your great harvest, Pastor Rhonda tells a story about, you know, right before we met, how the devil really just tried to mess with her life. And then my ex-friend Russ, he's kind of my current friend, I let him come preach here, but he tried to get in her season, he tried to mess her up with some dude from Georgia. Cecil, what a name. Anyway, so, sorry if there's anybody named Cecil, I love all Cecils. I love every Cecil in the world, I'm just kidding. It's a great name, your mama gave it to you, yay. But listen, my point is, even people around you who think they're trying to help you can mess you up in certain seasons. So that's why, as a farmer, you got to know, even if everybody else is planting corn and it's really not the right time to plant, it's not the safe time to plant, you're going to wait for the right time. And there's a lot of things in your life that there are seasons for. And you really have to trust that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. You really have to trust that he knows your future and that he will show you things to come. He will declare, disclose, and transmit to you everything that's coming. In other words, you'll always be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Amen. Because there's something about seasons that are very important. Now, again, I want to emphasize to you, there is no season for healing. That season is open season. You can receive it at any time. There is no season for you to get born again. When you hear the gospel, you can be born again. But there's no season for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Once you're born again, that belongs to you. But there are seasons in your life when it comes to career, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to things that God has appointed you to do. And if you ever get out of season, you can get in real trouble. I'll tell this. I don't think I've ever told this one publicly. I may have, but I doubt it. So my spiritual mother, her name was Nancy Graham, not of the Graham family you know in the United States, but the Brazilian Grahams. She was a spiritual mother to me. When I came back to the Lord, she took me under the wing, and she's the lady that took me to Brazil. And I didn't really know too much about prophecy or the things like that. All I knew was I had come back to the Lord, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I found myself with this anointing and this call that I didn't know what to do with. And so I was ready to head off I was going to go to Rhema, and I really wanted to go, and I wanted to go then, and I was ready to quit, and I was ready to move. And yet I had kind of a hesitancy in my heart, but I didn't know why, because, you know, I knew I was supposed to go because I was reading, understanding the anointing. The Holy Spirit said, I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. He said, turn it over. He said, I want that man to train you. I thought, I don't know who that man is, but okay. So I found out where it was, and I was going to go there because that's what I heard. But then on the inside, I thought, well, I don't know. And so she was ministering, and she called me up in front of everybody, and when I say everybody, I meant the church full was like 40 or 50 people. So in front of everybody, but I knew everybody. Everybody knew me because I was just getting started real good. And she said to me, you are a mile ahead of God. Slow down, son. relax. You're out of, basically, watch out. How could we go into Rhema wrong, except that it was, because I would have been out of season. I'd have been out of season. I was not ready. I had to receive some stuff. I had to do some stuff. So that's what I'm talking about. And you know what? Hindsight, looking back, everything just, you know, worked out perfectly. Because I did, thank God, listen. Because I respected her. Because it seemed right after she said it. So in your life, you know, sometimes you have to be careful for what you want. And you think you know best. Because God will give you quail till it runs out your nose and out your mouth. Sometimes he'll let you have, but it's not the best for you. So that's Old Testament. Well, I mean, you can understand that you can get out of the will of God because your flesh ain't happy. Let's talk to John Mark. Anybody remember John Mark? Mama's fixing noodles. I'm going home. Remember John Mark? He was with who? The Apostle Paul. It got a little rough. He was supposed to be there, and he said, I'm going to go home. And remember, he went home. And it caused Apollos, I believe, even though thank God he helped him, to get out of the perfect will of God. Well, no, that's not true. Well, we don't hear about him. We follow who? The Apostle Paul. That's where the spotlight was. That's where we're supposed to go. I'm not saying he was a horrible person. Something happened. But thank God, how many of you know if you get out of season, you can get back in season? Send me John Mark, because he's profitable for me in the ministry. So I don't know. I just wanted to help somebody out. Your season is really important. And maybe you're just coming awake to the fact that you almost got out of your season. Or maybe you're about to get out of season. And you know what? You just need to trust God. We need to continue to trust God, because I'm telling you that as a farmer, if you do things in the right season, with God's hand on your life, with God's blessing on it, it'll just grow and increase. Everybody say increase. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, just real quick, Psalms 1:3 says, in his season. We look at Galatians 6:9, and it talks about due season. In due season. What season? Due season. And I want to tell you that I just believe for some of you, for this church, we're in a due season. We're in a due season. We're having harvest. We passed through a door at the beginning of the year. There were many adversaries, more than I thought. There were many adversaries. But we passed through that door, and we're walking, amen, and we're receiving, and it's Jubilee, and we've had so many testimonies in double Jubilee. Don't even know, still really don't exactly, I kind of know what it means, but I just know it's good, and lots of good stuff is happening to a lot of people. So we're in the season of harvest. I'm grateful. Since Easter, all but one Sunday, both services, somebody has gotten born again or come back to the Lord every Sunday morning. That's due season. That's harvest season. The prodigals are coming home, and they're not stopping. Hallelujah. They're going to continue, and it's not going to stop this year. I believe it's part, when we were just getting married, before we got married, we went to this lady's house. She was a prophetess, mostly ministered in Israel. Some other places. She's actually Opal Cruz's spiritual mom. Her name was Beatrice Stansky. And we just walked in the door, and this woman, she ministered a lot of tongues and interpretation. She didn't know us. She'd never met us. She took our hands, and she said, you will be known in Madison, Alabama, for picking up the fallen grain. Your hands will be like glue, she said, and you will pick up the fallen grain. So if my hands are like glue, your hands are like glue. And it's time for us, it's our season to get the fallen grain. People are coming back to the Lord. Prodigals are coming home. Amen. Amen? Amen? Everywhere you go, I've been praying for you. Everywhere you go, you're going to want to talk to folks. You're going to want to invite folks. You're going to want to help folks because the fallen grain is being picked up. We're talking about being a farmer, and it's harvest season. Everybody say harvest season. And so in Isaiah 50, verse 4, it said, it talks about the prophet, and he said this, that you know how to speak a word in season. So that means even some of the word of God and getting something for somebody, like a rhema word, that there'll be a seasonal word that'll come out not just from the pulpit, but come from your mouth. You'll have a word in season to refresh them that's weary. And that you have, he wakes my ear to hear as learned. That's where I pray. I have the tongue of the learned. I have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God says to me. I have a word in due season. That's not just for preachers. That's for every one of us. Because of the season that we live in, you've got a word in due season for yourself, and you can have a word in season for everyone else. Amen. I want to finish up. Got a lot more. Let's look at Psalms 1 and then Jeremiah 17. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord and does meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will do what? Say, I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of God. What is a river? A river is a move of the Spirit. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Anytime you see river and water and God, it really mostly always talks about the move of God. And so in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spread out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. It's time, and we're seeing it, a move of God. And so our roots go down deep into the running rivers of living water, and it produces fruit on a regular basis. And so I believe that God wants you and I to contend for that river. Because if we're going to have a great harvest, we need a great flow.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.